You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
Happy Mother's Day again. As JD mentioned, my mom is in the room, so I want to take a second to honor you. I love you. I am grateful for the sacrifice you made when you were 19 years old. You decided you were going, I know you did too, Dad, but today's Mother's Day. You decided you were going to have me when you could have made other decisions. And I know that road was not easy, to say the least. But I honor you, I love you, I appreciate you, and your constant care and love, which never ends. And now that I'm a mom, I understand a little bit, but not as much. Love you. Thank you. So if you guys would bear with me, today we have a few passages that I am going to share with you. So my encouragement is that you could probably write those passages down. If you could write them down, keep them somewhere that you can go visit later throughout the week and ask God to speak to you. But I'm going to start with Matthew 13. If you have your Bible, your shiny one, your paper one, or if you just want to look on the screen, we're going to start with Matthew 13, verse 31 through 32. And it says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in the branches.'" Now, there's a lot that we can look at from this passage, but the part that I'm going to focus on is the part that says, "which a man took and sowed." Now, at the time scriptures were written, or at the time Jesus was on earth, it was an agrarian culture. So if you spoke of seed and harvest, everybody would have understood, because that was a lot of the living, and how they made a living at the time was through farming, right? It was agrarian. So of course that when speaking to the public, as Jesus was addressing, you know, sowing and reaping, it would have been easy for them to understand. But I would propose to you this morning that this analogy or this imagery of sowing and reaping still applies to us today. So I have titled this message, "Steward the Seed." Steward the Seed. See, the kingdom of heaven still comes to us as a seed, and it must be planted and watered in order to bear any fruit. Now, all of us consciously make large and small efforts daily, and we must make these efforts daily to sow the seed that the Lord has given to us, to sow seeds, and the seeds not only would become trees, but eventually even bear fruit. Now, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, for the most part, our circumstances don't change. For the most part, we don't immediately become wise. And let me tell you, we do not gain superpowers. When you accept Jesus or you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your habits, your bad or good ones, don't immediately change. It's not like you all of a sudden wake up and voila, I'm holy now. Doesn't work that way. So why do we? Why do we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives? Well, when we make that salvation call, or when we say, you know, "Would you like to receive Jesus into your heart?" What that is giving you access to a person, to the third person of what we call the Trinity, which is God, Father, and God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, our current active person within us here on earth. So when we say receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is gaining access to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does is then give you more seeds. That's what he does. So what God does God doesn't manipulate us. God doesn't force us down a path. He gives us a picture. A picture of what our lives could look like. A picture of what things in our lives could now be like, now that we have access to this person who knows everything. Now that we have access to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the one who knows us and knows the world and knows the future and knows all things. See, now God paints us a picture. Now speak to anyone that's been walking in this walk for a while with Jesus. They will tell you that when God wants to do something in your life, He often hands you a dream and a seed. He often hands you a dream and a seed. And I think we understand the dream part. You know what your marriage could look like. Or what your business, the business that you could own. Or a call to ministry. Or maybe a vision of financial freedom and blessing other people. I think we get the dream part, a picture, a beautiful picture of what our lives could look like. But I think where we get a little stuck is the seed part. See, He gives a seed. What is a seed? A thought, an idea, a small financial increase, a bonus, maybe a raise, a new relationship, a new position, a new perspective. These are all seeds that the Lord gives us. So you won't wake up one day and voila, you're now a CEO. It doesn't work that way. You won't wake up one day and you're now a champion. You win everything. You won't wake up one day and find that your marriage is now perfect. Doesn't happen that way. Every dream develops from a seed. And remember the passage we read, that a man or a woman must take the seed and sow it. You must sow the seed. I'm going to give you an example. So in 2013, JD and I were in Houston, Texas, and we had great jobs, but we felt this shift in our heart, and we knew God was doing something, and we got a vision, a dream, right? We had a dream of planting a church, but we didn't know what else to do, and we were both praying, we were both seeking God, and one night, out of pure desperation, guys, I just sat in my room, and I go, God, I know something needs to happen. I don't know what. I just don't know what. Now, you know my email, my phone number, and my address. Now, I don't advise you to make that prayer, but that's where I was, okay? You know how to get a hold of us, is what I was saying. You know how to get a hold of us. Speak to us. Whatever you say, we will do. Just, I need to hear from you. And at that same moment, JD is at a meeting at his ministry director's house. And they're in a meeting, so he's like obviously involved in the meeting. But he forwards me an email that comes through his phone at that time. And in that email was a church planter's training for ARC, which is the organization we're a part of now. See, when that email came through, I knew immediately that that was a seed. I knew immediately that that was God answering what I was asking. And what JD and I decided to do at that moment is to sow that seed. Is to what? To get trained, to get prepared for what you now call Connect Community. We decided to sow the seed of the idea, of the next step that God had given us. See, what you do with your seed is up to you. God will not sow the seed for you. He will never sow the seed for you. It is your job. A man or a woman must take the seed and sow it. You must engage. So now the question is, okay, well, does it matter where I sow it? Does it matter where I sow the seed? And you know, it's funny because we hear this a lot. We hear this often, good karma and bad karma, you know? Like which goes around, comes around. And really what that is the principle of sowing and reaping. Right, we don't call it that, we call it karma, but really it's sowing and reaping. And scriptures have talked about this because this is a kingdom principle. We find it in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows his seed, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, or let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There's two things in this passage that I want you to think about. Where we determine where we will sow, and we must not lose heart. Let's talk about where. Now, we need to be keenly aware that we are always sowing. We are always sowing. The question here is, where are you sowing? We're always sowing. What do I mean by that? Well, We can sow towards the flesh or could sow in the flesh, which means what? Whatever makes me feel comfortable, whatever makes me feel good. I could sit down and watch Netflix for 17 hours because that feels good. You know, I can hold on to this offense because it feels easier. We're always sowing, and we can sow into what makes us feel comfortable. We can sow into our flesh, or there's another way. We can sow into the Spirit. We can sow into the Spirit, and you go, okay, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to sow into the Spirit? Well, if you find yourself sick, for instance, if you find yourself sick and you find another person who is sick, you pray for them. You encourage them. You lift up them. That's sowing into the Spirit. If you find that your marriage is in trouble, if you find that you guys are struggling, you forgive first. If you find that you guys are struggling and then you meet another family, because you know God has a way of seeing what you will do when you're going through things. And He will send you people in your life that are going through the same thing you're going through. And you can look at that moment and sow into your flesh and go, I know, yo, isn't it crappy? Or, yeah, you can talk bad about him. You can do the thing, right? You can stay in that zone, or you can sow into the Spirit and you say, you know what? You guys will come out of it. You know what? I believe that God's going to show up on your behalf. You can sow into the Spirit if you decide to lift someone else up, even though you have not been lifted up yet. You can sow into the Spirit when you see somebody going through financial issues, and although you're not rolling in cash, you can sow into their lives a little bit and say, I believe in you. You guys are going to make it. You sow in the Spirit. See, you can sow in the Spirit when you are bitter, when you're hurting, when you really don't feel like forgiving, but you take that high road and you say, Lord, I choose to forgive. I forgive them because you have forgiven me. That's you sowing in the Spirit. Now, cup, you may be dating someone. You can sow into the Spirit by not awakening love before it's time. You sow into the Spirit. See, you want to see God increase you, sow in the Spirit. You want to see God increase any area of your life, sow in the Spirit. You want to own your own business. You know how you start? By taking a class to learn what the heck you're doing. Right? Because being faithful with what God has placed in you is sowing in the Spirit. It's taking measurable steps towards what God has placed in you is saying, God, I believe that you have called me. I believe that I have purpose, and I know that I can bring glory to your name. So I'm going to take steps towards it. And that means if you have to take a class, if you have to learn, if you have to volunteer, whatever it is that you need to do, that is sowing in the Spirit, being faithful with the seed He has placed in your hand, stewarding that seed. See, my friends, anytime you show love, you show compassion, you show kindness, you do anything for the benefit of anyone else, you are sowing in the Spirit. There's a passage in Matthew 25:40 that says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. So I need you to know that not only does it please the heart of God when you sow into someone else, when you love someone else, but you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God, and I'll prove to you in scriptures. I told you there'd be a lot of scriptures. I'll prove to you in scriptures. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. See, whoever sows in abundance reaps in abundance. Whoever doesn't sow in abundance doesn't reap in abundance. It's pretty clear, right? Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. See, there's proof. You can't outgive God. You sow seeds into someone else's lives, or you sow seeds into what God has placed in you, and He will show up, pressed down, shaken together, running over is the blessing He has for you. Now, in your finances, it's the same thing. And what I find even more interesting is that when it comes to the tithe, that God even says, test me. He says this in Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. See, God is faithful and he is kind and he is generous and he says, look, you cannot outgive me. You give, you trust, and I will pour out over you. I will open the windows of heaven. I want to encourage you this morning, my friends, to sow into fertile ground. To sow, not to your flesh, but to the spirit, so that you may see a tree grow. That you may see fruit in your life. I promise you that almost immediately, as you begin to sow into the spirit, you will feel the loving kindness presence of God. You will feel it because he is that good. Now, I know some of you are in the room and you're going, I just can't. You don't understand. You just don't understand. I can't. I'm hurting. I'm in too much pain. I can't do what you're asking me to do. Look, these are not my promises. I'm just sharing with you what the Lord is saying. Don't take my word for it. Take his. Here's another promise. Psalm 126. Verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed. Now, it's not just weeping. Look, you can spend hours, weeks, months weeping. But if you weep and sow, then you will reap. Okay? You cry, you weep, that's fine. You need to weep. You need to weep while you sow, cry while you're sowing, but sow because there will be no harvest if there's no sowing. Okay, and I told you, God will not sow for you. You must do the sowing. There is a time on earth. Genesis 8 verse 22 says that there's a seed time and a harvest time. And you must engage in the seed time because when harvest time comes and you didn't sow any seeds, you will also not reap anything. Talk to any farmer. He will tell you that the ground is not going to produce a tree on its own. Right? The ground is not going to produce, and neither will your life produce fruit on its own. Things are not just going to fall from heaven. They're not just going to fall from heaven and all of a sudden, woo, I have an apple tree. Doesn't happen that way. There's no harvest without seed time. There's no harvest without seed time. But here's another good news that I have for you. 2 Corinthians 9:10 tells us that now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You have a loving Father in heaven who has supplied you with seed. He has supplied you with the seed, and you go, I'm looking around and I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me give you a story. Let me share with you a story so you understand how God does supply. There's a story with Elijah, which was a prophet in the old days, in the Old Testament. Elijah and a widow of Zarephath, and I want to take you there. It's a little long. Do you have it on the screen? Okay. My translation here might be a little bit different than what's going to show up, but it's the same story. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then bake for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, if you pay attention to the story, she didn't have much. And I know that some of you in this room are going, I don't have much. God is not asking you for what you do not have. He is asking you for what he has already given you. He is asking you to trust with the little that you have. He's asking you to trust him with your husband, with your wife. He is asking you to trust him with your salary, the little that you have. He is asking you to trust him with the job that you already have. Trust him with the kids that you have. Trust him with what has been placed already in your hands. God is never going to ask you for something you cannot give. But he will ask you to trust him with what you have. Don't count your little insignificant. What if God wants to do a miracle? What if God says, hey, if you could just release it to me, if you could trust me with that seed, I'm going to make a tree out of it and you will not go hungry. You will not want. You will not lose your marriage. You will not lose your job. You will not lose what I've placed in your hand. But if you need to trust me with it, you need to open up your hands. You need to open up your heart and trust me with it. There's a second part in that passage that we read initially. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now that's another hard part. Now the girls and I, hoping that spring would come, we went and we bought some seeds. And we bought these seeds of these flowers, and we, you know, opened up the soil, and we put the seeds in there, and we closed up the soil, and we watered it. And they go, and they have their little watering cans, and they water it every day. And Chloe and Peyton, who are 4 years old, are frustrated. Where is our flower? It's been probably like 3 weeks now. And they're like, where is our flower? It doesn't come. It's not growing. Now, anybody who has ever done any kind of gardening or has been on this planet for more than 5 years understand that it takes time, right? Anything that is sown into the ground takes time. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season. If you have sown and you say, this is not working, I'm going to tell you there is a due season. There is a due season for harvest. You have to wait while the seed is underground. Now, any mother in the room understands that when you're pregnant, I'm looking at Susie here. When you're pregnant and that baby is brewing inside, you're like, okay, now, I'm tired of waiting, right? You wait and you wait and you wait, but you know that you can't short-circuit the process. You know that you can't stop that process any earlier than its due time. The baby will come out when it's time. Your promise will be revealed when it's time, when you're ready for it, when God has moved the people around you for it. Now listen. It's not just us involved in the promise. There are other people involved in your promise. And maybe they are not ready. Maybe God needs to do a work in them. Maybe there are other circumstances involving. Maybe if you try to short circuit that process, you'll actually lose in the end. Your tree will wither. Your tree won't be strong. The roots are not strong enough. They haven't grown deep enough. Right? Maybe a little wind will come and everything will collapse because the roots are not strong enough. Let the tree and the seed produce what it was meant to produce. Let the roots grow. Let it grow up in its due season. Trust in the Lord and do not grow weary. Do not grow weary in doing good, because he promises that in due season you will reap. Now, we brought these packets because I like visuals, you know. And we bought these packets, and our friends are going to pass out the packets for you. We're giving you a seed packet. Now, this seed packet you can sow so that you could see it produce its vegetable. Like, if you all vegetables, non-GMO, guys, we are good. You could plant them and eat them. You get seeds with veggies. You can plant them, or you can keep the seed packet and write on it what you feel like is the dream that God has given you. And you can symbolically keep it in front of you and say, I'm sowing it, God. I'm going to give everything I have to see you produce the fruit, the tree that it's meant to produce. You can keep it, sow it, for real, whatever you want to do. But it's there for you. Here's what I know. We serve a faithful God. We serve a God who is active and alive and wants to bring the dream. Okay? He wants to bring the dream into fruition. Will you sow whatever it is that he's given you to sow? Will you take the first step into sowing it? Will you keep watering it and doing the right thing even for the right thing's sake? Do the right thing when it looks right and do the right thing when it doesn't feel. Just keep doing the right thing when it feels good or it doesn't feel good. Because the promises of God are that in due season you will reap.